This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. A warm welcome to each of you from the Christian Crusaders Radio Ministry. As we pack away Christmas 2013, let's think about how we celebrated. Did you sing, "I'll be home for Christmas," and you went only to return feeling wistful and satisfied, or exhausted and unsettled? What if we have it all wrong, and the truth is that Christmas is actually about leaving home? Stay with us today as we talk about celebrating the birth of Christ from the God the Father's perspective.
Today we're going to take a look at what some people have referred to as the first Christian Christmas carol. Stay with us, won't you, and listen in. Let's pray. Great and loving Father, we praise you today for another day of life and for another opportunity to sit with you in your holy word and marvel at your great love for us. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our salvation. Amen. Dear friends, I don't know about you, but I am missing Christmas already. I love the festivities, the family get-togethers, the great food, the fact that I get to eat lefse because people give it to me at my congregation at Christmas time. But I tell you what I'm really missing the most. I'm missing the music, the Christmas carols. It seems like during that time of season, everywhere you turn, whether you're at a shopping mall or on an elevator or at the church or wherever, those Christmas tunes are playing in the background. And they bring back all that great thinking about what a loving and kind God that we have and what trouble he's gone to make us his own. I wonder, for yourself, what's your favorite Christmas carol? If you're sitting with someone today, just take a quick moment right now and tell them, what is that favorite Christmas carol of yours? Got it? Well, today I want to talk with you about what some people have referred to as the first Christmas carol ever put together. In the early days of the church, when letters were written from the Apostle Paul or Peter or John, sometimes they would use songs that were being sung in the Christian church as part of their illustrations or to make a point as they're teaching what Jesus was all about. And such is the case we find in Philippians chapter 2, where there is this basically Christ carol, Christmas carol. And it reads as follows: "Who being in very nature God," talking about Jesus, "did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Three stanzas in that particular little Christmas carol. The first stanza I refer to as the cradle, where we have Christ becoming one of us, who, though he was in the form of God, he emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in human likeness, becoming one of us. Jesus is in his heavenly home, the carol begins. And then he steps down to become a human being, God in the flesh. There's a cute little Christmas story that's told about some first graders who were putting on their own little Christmas manger scene in Sunday school. They decided they wanted to make it a little more updated. So as you watch the scene open, you see Joseph and the shepherds and the angels propped up in the background, but Mary was nowhere to be seen. Suddenly, behind the bales of hay came some loud sounds. Evidently, Mary was in the midst of labor. As I said, this was a modern version. Soon the doctor arrived, dressed in a white coat with a stethoscope around his neck. And Joseph, with a look of relief on his face, took the doctor straight to Mary. And then he began pacing back and forth in front of the manger scene. And after a couple of minutes, the doctor emerged with a big smile on his face and announced, "Congratulations, Joseph. It's a God." Well, isn't that basically what the story of Christmas is about? Jesus has stepped down into our world, and the announcement from the angels was, "It's a God. It's the Lord." Leith Anderson, who's one of my favorite preachers, tells a story of when he went to Manila in the Philippines on a mission trip. His congregation's very involved with missions up in out of the Twin Cities. And when he got there, he found in the midst of all of that a huge garbage dump in the outskirts of Manila. And he said it was breathtaking because basically that on this mountain of garbage outside of that city, there were thousands of people living there, making their homes on that dump site. They'd constructed shacks out of things other people had thrown away. They'd send their children out early in the morning to scavenge for food out of other people's garbage so that they could have family meals. People had been born and grown up there on that garbage dump. They'd had their families there, their children, their shacks, their garbage to eat. They finished out their lives and died there without ever going anywhere else, even into the city of Manila. It's an astonishing thing, Anderson writes. But then he says, but Americans also live on that garbage dump. They are missionaries, Christians who have chosen to leave their own country and communicate the love of Jesus to people who otherwise would never have heard it. This is amazing to me. People would leave what we have to go and live on a garbage dump. Amazing, but not as amazing as that journey from heaven to earth. The Son of God, Jesus, made that journey, and he knew what he was doing. He knew where he was going. He knew what the sacrifice would be, and yet he journeyed from heaven to earth on a mission to save the likes of you and me. That's the first verse of the stanza. The cradle. Jesus was born into this world, God in the flesh. But the second stanza reads as follows, again, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. There we have what I would call the cross stanza. Jesus humbled himself. He didn't come into this world simply to teach us or simply to give us some knowledge about God, but he also came ultimately to give his life a life of obedience all the way through up to the very time when he was nailed to the cross. And on that cross, he suffered a horrible death. Why did he do it? For the likes of you and me. You see, his coming into this world that first Christmas was to rescue us. We were in a predicament as the human race. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Not one of us could work his or her way back into a friendship with God or have a hope of ever going to the everlasting home to live with the Father. It was a hopeless situation. But when Christ Jesus stepped into this world, he came to rescue us from that. He lived the life of perfect obedience that we could not live. And then he went to the cross, and there the wrath of God was poured out upon him, and he paid the penalty for our sins at that cross, so that you and I could cross the bridge, which is the cross, back into a relationship with the God who loves us. And finally, we have the third stanza. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Here we have the crowning stanza. We've got the cradle in the first, the cross in the second, and now the crown. Therefore, God exalted him and also gave him the name that is above every name. God didn't leave him in the tomb, did he? He raised him up on the third day, and now Jesus reigns in power and authority over this whole world. He has the last word. He has defeated the power of sin and death and Satan, and he has the final word over this planet of ours. It's a promising future for those of us who place their trust in Jesus Christ. God has exalted him. What a beautiful Christmas carol, isn't it? It tells the whole story. Christ in the cradle. Christ on the cross. Christ being crowned and exalted. That is a marvelous Christmas carol. And you know, when you begin to look carefully at this Christmas carol, what came to my mind was that Christmas is really about leaving home. Jesus, who was with the Father, left home. He left home. Joseph Bailey, a Christian poet, writes, "Tonight, this Christmas Eve, I will sing praise to the Father who stood on heaven's threshold and said farewell to his Son as he stepped across the stars to Bethlehem and Jerusalem." Christmas is about Jesus stepping across the cosmos into our little world on a rescue mission. Why did he go to all that trouble? To that great inconvenience. He had it so good where he was. You see, Jesus left home so that you could come home. Let me say that again. Jesus left home so that you and I could come home. Come home to the Heavenly Father that is waiting for us, who created us and who loves us and who sent his Son to make it possible for us to come home. What's your picture of God? What a wonderful picture Jesus has given us. He's the Father waiting at home for the rebellious Son to come and then welcomes him with open arms. Or I think of Jesus saying, "There's a heavenly home that I'm preparing for you. Don't be afraid. Don't let your hearts be troubled. In my Father's house, there are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go and prepare a place for you? And when I go and prepare that place for you, I'll come again and I'll take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." He came to bring us home again, that we might have a friendship with God and never be separated from him, that we might live and breathe every moment in this life with Emmanuel, God with us, walking with us every step of the way. Wherever he is, that's home, friend. Being in that personal relationship with the God who made us, who knows what makes our life work, and who truly does love us. Now, in this song, I don't know if you caught this, but this is kind of a revelation for me when I was studying for today's message. The song leaves us with what you might call an invitation, calling for a response. after talking about all that Jesus has done. He said, and God exalted him. For what reason? So that every knee should bend to Jesus. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. When we think of bending the knee to him, to bend the knee like that is to surrender to him and say, take me, I'm yours. I want to serve you all my life. And to confess that Jesus is Lord is to say, Jesus, not only are you Lord of the world, but you're Lord of my life. Take over. Show me the way. And the songwriter goes, and when that happens, it pleases your Father in heaven. It gives him glory as he sees you kneel and say of his Son, Jesus, you are my Lord. And so I wanted to give you an opportunity to do that with me today. Wherever you are, don't feel pressured to do this, but I would invite you to take a knee today. If you love Christ, or if you want to follow Christ, or maybe this message has opened up something for you that you want to get involved with Jesus, take a knee, bow before him. And after you've done that, pray this with me. Jesus, you are Lord. Jesus, be my Lord. Jesus, I want to serve you the rest of my life. I love you, Lord. Amen. Now, as you go on your way, may Christ go with you. May he go before you to show you the way, behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over, and within you to give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now go in peace, and know God truly does love you. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray today's sermon has encouraged you to open your heart to the Christ in the cradle. A memorial gift is a meaningful way to remember a loved one. These gifts can be given in any amount to commemorate the life of someone special while furthering the mission of Christian Crusaders to proclaim the gospel. And your gifts need not only to remember someone who has passed away. Honorarium gifts are also a thoughtful way to celebrate someone still in your life. Please send your memorial and honorarium gifts to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. We invite you to tell a friend, relative, or neighbor about Christian Crusaders. Those who travel outside of our broadcast areas can listen anytime on ChristianCrusaders.org. You can also call our office to request that sermon copies be sent to a particular individual. By reaching out to others with the word, we help share the light of the Lord with those who walk in darkness. If you'd like a CD or printed copy of today's program, simply call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. You may also direct your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. We are happy you chose to worship with us this day, and we invite you to join us again next Sunday on this station. Conducting today's service was the Reverend Steve Kramer, Senior Pastor of Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church in Afton, Minnesota, and Associate Speaker on Christian Crusaders, now in its 78th year of continuous Sunday worship broadcasting.